reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about faith, specifically faith this time and the consciousness of weakness. Faith and the consciousness of weakness. We all have reminders from time to time of our own inadequacies and weaknesses. Sometimes it's through physical weakness, illness, pain, incapacitation of some sort. Sometimes it's through a sense of overwhelming responsibility. Just this past Sunday, a young couple in our church brought their brand new baby to church. And as I was remarking over the miracle of this tiny creature that had been produced by these two rather bewildered young parents, I said to the father, "Does it blow your mind to realize that you're now a father? That this little tiny creature has made you a father? You have a daughter and you are a father." And he said, "It blows my mind." And how often I've heard similar expressions from new parents. It's just an overwhelming miracle to realize that here is a human soul in your arms for whom nobody on earth is responsible but you. You too are the ones whose love created this little creature, under God, of course. And if you think that you are adequate and you'll do a bang-up job of being a father or a mother, then you're probably not really in touch with reality, because the consciousness of our weakness would be a more appropriate response. We are, none of us, adequate to be parents except by the grace of God. And in Pamela Reeve's little book, and that name is spelled R-E-E-V as in victory, E, Pamela Reeve's little book, Faith Is, she tells us on page 13 and 14, faith is realizing that what God is going to do through me will be on the basis of miracle, not manpower, his promise, not my goodness. Faith is expecting God to accomplish miracles through insignificant me with my five loaves and two fishes. Miracles. You know, I've heard some astounding stories of how other writers work. The most astounding that I've ever heard is the one I came across recently in the autobiography of Anthony Trollope, a 19th century novelist. Trollope wrote 250 words every quarter hour for 3 straight hours every morning of his life. 250 words every quarter hour for 3 straight hours every morning of his life, turning out the equivalent of 9 books per year. When people come up to my book table and say, "My goodness, you've been busy, you're a prolific writer," I have to sort of smile, because there's nothing prolific about being able to produce the small number of books that I've produced in the many, many years that I've been writing. If I could write at Trollope's rate, well, multiply 9 by 35, and that might be prolific. But I'm conscious of my weakness. I'm conscious that if God is going to do anything through me, it will be on the basis of his supernatural power, not my power. But I also want to put in a little footnote to what Pamela Reeve says here, that we need to realize that God has so arranged the universe that he intends for us to use the strength that he has given to us in combination, in cooperation with his own supernatural power. Or as the old writers used to put it, grace goes to work on nature. God has given me certain natural gifts and natural abilities, and they are gifts. I don't take credit for them, but I do take responsibility for them. I must work with him and under him and in submission to his power. But let me remember, faith is realizing that what God is going to do through me will be on the basis of miracle, not only manpower, on the basis of his promise, certainly not on my goodness. I have a brother named Tom Howard, who is also a writer. I have two brothers who are writers. My brother Dave has written some books too. But Tom is the genius of the family, and he never seems to have to reshape a sentence. It just makes me want to hang myself to hear Tom describe how he can sit down and write a 4 or 5 page article in an hour. I can never do that. And I asked him, do you ever rewrite a page? And he looked at me rather bemused and said, no, I don't think I do. He said, I might change a word here and there once in a while. I had been agonizing over the chapters on discipline and punishment and encouragement in a book that I'm writing on the Christian family. I had spent, are you ready for this, 2 weeks on that one chapter, which I thought ought to be relatively easy because it was an attempt simply to describe what my parents did in the way of disciplining us and punishing us and encouraging us. I had spent 2 weeks on it, and the chapter is still not finished. Well, let me read from Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 to 4. When you take the field against an enemy and are faced by horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, will be with you. When you're about to join battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army in these words, "Hear, O Israel, this day you are joining battle with the enemy. Do not lose heart or be afraid or give way to panic in face of them. For the Lord your God will go with you to fight your enemy for you and give you the victory." Isn't that an encouraging word to those of you who are conscious of your weakness today? Do not lose heart or be afraid or give way to panic, for the Lord your God will go with you to fight your enemy and give you the victory. Now, what are my enemies today? What are your enemies? One of them is discouragement. The fear that maybe I've shot my wad. When I sit down to prepare a talk or write a book, I think, well, maybe the reason I'm having so much trouble with this is that I really have drained the bottom of the barrel, shot my wad, as it were. And I'm thinking to myself, what are my listeners going to say about this? What will my readers say? And I think I hear my enemy, my arch enemy Satan's voice saying to me, who do you think you are? Well, who do I think I am? Nothing but a servant of the Lord. And I'm conscious of the fact that I have nothing that I have not received, and that I can do nothing without Christ. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Zero, zilch, nada. So I know perfectly well that I'll never be able to write like Trollope. And Trollope was gifted in a way that I'm not. It's not to his credit, and it's not to my fault, really. And then, of course, comes this needling thought in the back of my mind, am I just making excuses for myself? I can't write like my brother Tom. But Lord, by your grace and by your power, I want to do the work that you have given me to do. This is my task, designed to provide the realization that I am weak and God is strong. This is your task today. What is your task? I don't know what it is. You know what it is. In some aspects of your work, you will find the design, the divine design, provided to teach you that you're weak and that God is strong and that his strength is made perfect in weakness. God, in His mercy, gives us something to do for which we know we're too small, too inexperienced. We lack somebody else's gifts. When we compare ourselves with others, it's always discouraging. He has given us circumstances which seem to militate against the proper accomplishment of the job. We know very well that somebody else could have done it better. But here it is on my desk, in my lap, my assignment, and I can't get out of it. So I must present myself humbly for the work, glad of the privilege of doing it to the best of my ability, with God's help. With Christ, Paul said, I can do all things. So thank Him today for the limitations and the weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, will I glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. A deeper experience of the power of Christ. I can even enjoy my weaknesses and difficulties for Christ's sake, for my very weakness makes me strong in Him. That's another translation of that same passage. I can even enjoy my weaknesses and difficulties for Christ's sake, for my very weakness makes me strong in Him. May the Lord be your strength today, you who've just about had it. Remember, He rewards us not for the dignity of the office, but for the humility with which it is performed.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.